Hello, this is Steve Megatron Phillips, and just to preface this, I want to apologize for the lateness of the episode so far. I've been meaning to get this out. I've just been busy between school life, and to be honest, I've been kind of burnt out a little bit and not really wanting to use my time to edit. So again, I apologize, and that's why the show's been kind of MIA for a while. We will be recording more of them soon, after, I believe, episode 21 or 22. I think we'll have all of the Legends of the Dark Knight, well, Batman the Animated Series or the New Adventures, episodes of the podcast will be covered, and we'll be moving on to commentaries of the films, and then moving our way into, the actual Batman Beyond episodes. So, again, sorry for the delay. Shouldn't happen again, more than a two-week span between them. So, thank you, and enjoy the show.
This episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Steve, Mike, and Tara.
Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into Gotham City is...
TFT on Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's been a while, but yeah, we're only this episode and two more, and we'll be into the films.
Yes, that's right.
So, Batman the Animated Series is almost done, other than the films, and then it's Batman Beyond.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do I have plans for that show. I don't know how many people listen to this show that also listen to Tales of Eternia, my other show, the He-Man show that I do with Optimus Solo. But I have clean-cut CD soundtrack files of He-Man background music. And I've started putting them at the intro and outro of every episode of Tales of Eternia. I think I started in episode 11. So in the intro that Kevin and I discuss stuff, or in the outro when we're doing our final thoughts or whatever else, there's music playing behind our voice. I also have many, many Batman Beyond instrumentals that I can have us put behind our intros and outros when we get to Batman Beyond. Oh, man. But now it's been a very busy couple of months. I know episode 19 was a couple months ago, and we've just, between doing the top 10 film countdowns on Geekcast Radio, and right now, as of this recording, we're in the middle of the GCRN Wars 80s Cartoon Villains Tournament. We just haven't had time to record Legends.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Plus, a lot's been going on in my neck of the woods between various job situation stuff. And then, of course, school and just it's been hectic. So we wanted to make sure we got another episode out there yes. And to kind of try and push it towards the film franchise and then move our way to beyond when...
I think once we get to the films, yeah, I think once we get to the films and once we get to Beyond, it'll start moving faster, because a lot of shows, by the time we get there, hopefully a lot of the other stuff that I do will, some of the stuff will have already, you know, reached its climax and ended, and, you know, we'll have more time and We won't, because really what's taking the time now, as I said, is that 80s cartoon villain tournament. That's pretty much kind of taking our attention right now.
Yeah.
Promoting the heck out of that and everything else, and hopefully this summer it'll be busy, but it won't be so busy to where we can't start doing more of these on a regular basis. Plus, we did launch the Pullbag, which is our new comic book show, so that's the other thing that's taking time away from this.
That's true.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty much it, and we will move into the first episode right after this.
Come on, Slowpoke. We don't want to be late.
What's the big deal? Who is this Cassidy anyway?
Only the hottest singer in the world, Bruce. What cave have you been hiding in? Everyone who's anyone will be here.
Ugh. Bruce?
Barbara.
I didn't know you were into Cassidy.
Shannon thought I should see what all the buzz is about. Firsthand.
And from the front row.
I remember when you used to dress like that for me.
Gar, we have a show to put on, remember?
Don't worry, Cass, I won't disappoint you. My job is the only thing I care about now.
Let it go, Garfield. Whatever you thought we had is as cold as a burnt-out fuse.
Hey, you're the expert on burning people, you little tramp. And if you think I'm going to step aside like one of your pretty boys...
Okay, that's it. It's your last show. You heard that, Frank? Cut him a check, he's out. I honestly thought we could have a working relationship, but I guess I was wrong.
You've been wrong about everything. Especially me.
First up is Torch Song. A pyrotechnics expert seeks revenge on his former girlfriend, pop star Cassidy, and Batman must stop him from burning the city.
Oh boy. Firefly. I like the costume. But this is a kind of a lame episode. This is kind of like Batman is the new detective in Law and Order Special Victims Unit. I swear to God, this episode is just like something that a case that the SVU show would handle. It's
nice.
I like the action in it. I like the effects. Obviously, I like pretty much anything that Batman does in the episodes, but the overall plot of the episode is just kind of generic and boring.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I kind of like the concept of it. I do like Firefly to an extent. I'm not a huge fan of the character, and I think that for being a male character, I think Firefly is kind of lame, but for him.
Yeah.
The costume's all right. I think that it's been done better elsewhere, though. But yeah, the simple revenge thing, and yeah, I have to burn it to the ground, and blah, 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 doesn't really impress me all that much.
No.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool that, you know, Batman's having to, you know, investigate this guy and figure out what the heck his problem is. I think, could be mistaken, but I think Firefly's also featured with another DC character as a villain sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who, though. I think it might be, maybe Green Arrow. I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyways, yeah, overall, I think the episode's not that bad. It's not my favorite, but you do get to see Batman and Batgirl working together through this trying to investigate the pyrotechnics and the bombs and, of course, the flames.
Yeah. He will also come back. Firefly will be back in Legends of the Dark Knight. Apparently he's in that episode as well.
Yeah. I think his episode there was better.
Mm. Yeah, it's not so much that I don't like the character of Firefly. It's that I don't like the plot of this episode.
The only decent part that I think was really cool is you see Batman appear in a heat-resistant suit of armor.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And it kind of reminds me of the Batman Beyond suit in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of happy to see that show up.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting.
Getting into the trivia.
Go ahead.
The heat-resistant suit worn by Batman looks to be a mix of the Batman Beyond suit and the bat armor he developed shown in Batman Beyond's Disappearing Ink.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why I like it.
Exactly.
Batgirl makes reference to the WB television show Pinky and the Brain when talking to Bruce on the phone.
That was funny. I forget how she referenced. I just watched this stupid episode. Did she say, "Are you pondering when I'm pondering"?
I think so. Frank's fan mail from some flounder is a quote from the classic 1960s animated series Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the names that Cassidy's agents suggest for her new tour are Heatwave and Firestorm, two fire-based DC characters.
That doesn't surprise me.
Lame. The smoke gun Batman uses at one point is similar to Mr. Freeze's cold gun he used in the original series. And then, of course, you have their usual cast, and then,
Biff! Thomas F. Wilson, Howlin' Jake, Angel's Biker, uncredited. Biff! Biff from Back to the Future!
Nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Very cool.
The exact quote, which is the only memorable quote, is Batman says, "What are you doing tonight?" Barbara says, "The same thing we do every night, Pinky." And then Batman says, "What?"
What?
And then she says, "Yeah. Never mind."
I knew it was one of those lines.
That's funny. "What are you doing tonight?" "The same thing we do every night, Pinky." "What?"
Yeah.
"Never mind." It's just hilarious. But
that's so funny.
But yeah, overall, not a bad episode, but not a great one either.
It's, yeah, like I said, it's not that it's a bad episode. It's just that, for me, it's a too much of a generic plot.
Although, I will say, just before we get into the other episodes of this episode, it is one of the better highlighted episodes of this particular
podcast yes.
episode.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when we get towards the end. So with that, we'll be back with the next episode.
Come on, honey. The sooner you fork it over, the sooner you can party.
I can't get it off. It's stuck.
Never mind. Keep it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank El Cheapo here for buying cubic zirconium. Now this is real.
You may have our jewels, but you can't escape. There's nowhere to go.
There's always down.
But we're 3,000 feet up.
Isn't it cool? Bye.
There she is.
Bird one to base. Have sighted robbery suspect, and she's falling fast. Nothing we can do.
Get
Come to Roxy. Ha! Yeehaw! Let's ride!
Next up is The Ultimate Thrill. Batman faces a challenge from Roxy Rocket, a former stuntwoman turned criminal for whom danger is the ultimate thrill.
Oh, God. I liked it better when she shows up in Superman. Because she references this... Well, she doesn't reference this specific episode, but she references that... I believe it's in... Nighttime. She shows up in Metropolis, and she says, "Well, with the bat gone, I figured I'd try my luck here." And Roxy Rocket is a little too over hormonal.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
No, I'm serious. Like her sexual overtones are like just out there. They're like, this is me, and I don't care who sees me this way. And yeah, it, So you got the Penguin in this episode as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Penguin wasn't doing much these days in the new adventures. They had to give him something to do.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, but she ends up talking to the Penguin and about the robbery, and he pays her, and she gambles with him, and her attempts to, and yeah, it's just I don't have much to say about this episode. I really
this
don't.
This episode, there's nothing.
It's just the person working in movies who was a stunt double who made too strong of dangerous stunts that insurance company wouldn't cover, so she lost her job, so she's like, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, yeah, let's just steal shit.
Yeah. But, like, this her episodes, even in the Superman the Animated Series, they have nothing to them. Like I said, she's looking for the ultimate thrill, whether that be in stunting, in being a stunt woman, or in being a $3 hooker from Crime Alley or something. You know, it's just one of those things where she's not a very interesting character, and there's no real giant plot. She is, I would say, probably a fourth, fifth, or sixth tier villain in the DC universe. Not even Batman's role. I would rather take the ventriloquist over her any day.
I have to agree, and I don't really much care for him either.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, like, the way I look at it is you have Roxy all the way down here, you have the ventriloquist at the, like, the midway point here, and then up at the top is Joker, Penguin, Two-Face, like, all the mains, Bane and all that. She is so far down the totem pole, it isn't even funny.
Yeah. So, getting into continuity, Batgirl would reuse her quote-unquote sources in the search for Robin and Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Right.
Nice to see how that works. The trivia, during one of the tunnel chase scenes, Roxy's Rocket crashes through a truck labeled Farmer Brown, foreshadowing his appearance in Critters.
Oh, no.
Where's Gallagher and a sledgehammer when you need him?
Yeah, really.
This episode has the most sexual reference of any episode in the DCAU, mostly coming from Roxy Rocket.
Told you.
What a horror. man. But, yeah... This episode to me, I mean, yeah, the ultimate thrill, that kind of thing, I can see it to an extent, but at the same time, it's just, that's just an unneeded character. I understand they were, you know, trying to step away from his regular rogues, but yeah. It wasn't very entertaining to me, personally. Not that I have anything wrong with, you know, a female villain, but because there are better ones, like Catwoman, Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode just did nothing for me. I think because in the new adventures, I think we're seeing a trend that not many of them are written by people who normally write Batman. And I think that's why there's such a kind of up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Especially with this particular podcast episode.
Right.
Because we got one guy that writes two of them in this episode.
Yeah.
And we got one very, 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 very well-written episode coming up.
Yeah, I mean, between... I will say, in the defense of Roxy Rocket, not necessarily the character, but in the Ultimate Thrills defense, the writer was Hillary J. Bader, and she really got her start... Well, she got her start here in the new Batman Adventures, but she really went on to Superman the Animated Series, wrote a lot of great stuff in that. She wrote a lot of the she wrote the Egg Baby from Batman Beyond. She wrote Untouchable. She wrote A Touch of Curare. I mean, she has written some really great stuff, this episode notwithstanding. But even with... yeah, you're right. It's one of those things where you just don't know. You just don't know what was going through these people's heads when they wrote some of these episodes, especially the last one I'll talk about. But if you want to transition here.
Yeah, so with that, we will be back right after this.
I never thought it would end this way, for us or for Barbara. I still don't know everything that happened.
I'll never forget. I can see it as clearly as my parents' murder. Scarecrow had seized control of City Hall. While we polished off his goons, the maniac ran. Barbara went after him.
Call an ambulance!
Dad.
Barbara? Oh my God, no!
Dad, I...
Jim.
Could you? I worked with you, trusted you, and you never told me? She was my daughter. My daughter.
That's as far as you go, murderer.
Up next is, by far, what is one of the best Batman the Animated Series episodes ever. Over the Edge, written by Paul Dini.
Of course.
Of course. The police department, led by Commissioner Gordon, storm the Batcave and shoot up Batman and Robin. They shred Dick Grayson's old Robin suit and shatter the display glass door, almost anything else that is caught in the gunfire. Gordon knows who Batman is and wants him taken down. The dynamic duo make a run for the Batmobile, but Gordon has it blown to bits by a bazooka-wielding officer. As the Caped Crusaders cover behind the giant penny, Batman tells Robin to run for the hangar to buy them time. Batman tilts the giant penny over and rolls it towards the police, forcing them to fall back. Batman catches up with Robin, but Renee Montoya intercepts them. With Gordon on their tail, Batman grabs Robin and takes a plunge to the dock where the Batboat is moored. Gordon aims and is ready to shoot Batman. However, he misses when Alfred jumps on him while Harvey Bullock manhandles and arrests the butler. Batman and Robin escape in the Batboat.
What could be going on here, Steve?
A little fear.
No. This episode opens like you have no idea what's going on. Like, this was one of the most shocking episodes, I think, of the entire series, because it gives you no context to, obviously, what is the big reveal at the end, but it's so powerful. I mean, like, how does Commissioner Gordon know who Batman is? Why is he chasing him? How the hell did they get into the cave? Did all the police officers slide down the proverbial bat pole too?
And I liked every bit of it.
Oh man, this episode is so awesome. And it's so emotional at the same time, because as we find out, as Batman tells Nightwing the story, that they were going up against the Scarecrow, and basically he killed Batgirl. And that kind of unraveled everything. As it progresses, it tells this amazing story of how Commissioner Gordon's going to lose his job either way. He can either retire or he can wait until they indict him or whatever. And he's so desperate. He wants revenge. He goes to the one person you would never think he would go to. And he goes to Bane. And of course, we all know Bane's not going to abide by that deal. Come on. So Bane's out to kill Batman. And Batman actually shocks Bane half to death. But Bane has like 1 ounce of strength left. He pulls the bat signal out of its place there and basically throws it at them. And Batman and Gordon go off the roof. And then that's when you find out it's a dream sequence.
It is kind of a messed up episode.
It is so awesome, though. It is so awesome because it's like, as she says in the episode, it's her worst fear. And it's just one of those things where it's so good. The writing is so good. The action is amazing. I mean, I could have sworn that they were going to do Bane Breaks His Back. They didn't, but I could have sworn they were going to go there.
Oh, and they easily could have.
Yeah, they could have. But it's so bone-chilling. Like, when you see the police car driving by and then you see her body fall from inside the car, you see it. That was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was a little nuts.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to jump ahead here, but I know this for a fact from listening to the commentaries. It's in the trivia, but I know this for a fact. That wasn't the original way it was shot. The original way it was shot was first-person view of her falling and falling head-on to the car. The censors said, that's way too violent, you got to change it. So all they did was they didn't change the scene. They just changed where the camera was. So instead of having it from the outside of the car, it's inside the car. I love this episode. This episode is so amazing. It's so great to see Batman, Robin, and Nightwing together. Like Batman, Tim, and Dick all together. And I was like, I remember when I first saw this episode, like when it
was first on TV, I was like, oh, hell yeah, Nightwing to the rescue. That is so awesome. When he was on the other boat, that was so great. Oh, man. What did you think of this one?
I think it was extremely well written. The animation in it was great. The voice, you know, cast obviously did really well with this. It was pretty much an unexplored territory.
Yeah.
So it was nice seeing that happen in that way. It was kind of messed up to, you know, see that Gordon turned on, you know, I mean, obviously grief-stricken and everything, turned on Batman, like, oh, to hell with you, you know, and it would have been better to send the Joker.
Well, it's not even that, yeah, but the thing is that I love that scene when Bruce answers the phone. He's like, save it, Wayne. 10 minutes on Barbara's computer, and I knew everything. So it's like, wow. I love that they did that.
So, yeah, I mean, that was really cool. And then, you know, this is ultimately what caused her to stop being Batgirl.
Yeah.
I mean, this was step one in the process. Step two happens in Return of the Joker. So, I mean, if you put those two together, you're already kind of screwed. I mean, it's already done as far as her involvement with the vigilante crime fighting.
Yeah. Well, because that whole thing was she wanted to go straight. She wanted to, you know, she wanted to do something that was
not illegal.
Yeah, exactly. But I absolutely love this episode. There's so much trivia here. So much. Where do we want to start?
From the top.
All right. Despite being the villain who triggered all of this, the Scarecrow has no lines in this episode outside of his sinister laugh. However, it is provided by Jeff Glenn Bennett rather than Jeffrey Combs. Bane's only appearance in the new Batman Adventures, however, he would appear in Batman Mystery of the Batwoman, his final DCAU appearance production-wise. A unique feature of this episode is Batman's apparent willingness to use lethal force on Bane, suggesting that, at least in the hallucination, the loss of his family and what he views as his betrayal of Gordon has shattered his moral code and has nothing left to lose. He implies as much to Bane. The lawyer hired by Harley Quinn and the Mad Hatter, the Riddler and the Ventriloquist in Scarface, is the same one from Joker's Millions. He is obviously a parody of Johnny Cochran. Yeah. If the bat's on a spree, Wayne must pay the fee. This is so funny though, because later in Justice League, in the episode in Blackest Night, when Flash acts as Green Lantern's defense attorney during Jill's trial, Flash pleads, "If the ring wasn't lit, you must acquit." Oh, that's funny.
Somebody was having way too much fun with that.
Yeah. Okay, so during the final scene, it is implied that Commissioner Gordon knows that Barbara is Batgirl, further confirmed during the audio commentary included on Batman the Animated Series Volume 4 DVD. The third season of Gotham Girl suggests that he is still in the dark about her secret. However, the Gordon that refers to Barbara exclusively as Batgirl is a robotic imposter, and the actual Gordon makes no real statement either way. That's a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The subject of the Bat-villains having their day in court with the Caped Crusader has come up before. In the Batman the Animated Series episode Trial, the villains joined forces to capture Batman and take him to Arkham Asylum, where they literally put him on a full-blown mock trial for crimes the Dark Knight had allegedly committed against them. Let's see. This is one of the new Batman Adventures 2 episodes that feature all four Bat-family team members in costume. Though here Nightwing only appears in the dream sequence, the other episode was Old Wounds, which showed Batman and Batgirl in a flashback. In neither episode are all four heroes together at any one time. That would have been at least cool if they could have found a way to... I mean, I see why they couldn't because of flashbacks and stuff, but that would have still been cool to see all four of them together.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else you want to bring up from trivia?
I don't really think so.
Okay.
I know that it's, you know, obviously, like you mentioned before about the Batman Beyond comic.
Yeah, what had happened? I'll read that bit because I think I mentioned to you off the air.
Yeah, you did.
Back in the I think it was 2000, the original tie-in Batman Beyond number 13 elaborates on the long-term effects from events in this episode. It reveals that ever since her exposure to the high dose of scarecrow toxin she experienced during the episode, Barbara Gordon is stricken every 3 to 4 years by a relapse that causes her to experience heightened fear while awake, progressing to the point where she must retreat to a secure location and enter a deep sleep for 3 to 4 days to wait out the experience as a nightmare. However, when her latest relapse takes place during a search for a missing girl, Barbara is forced to keep herself awake, contacting Karen McGinnis to keep her awake and focused until the girl is found. Now, even though, I don't know how much you will be, but even though I'm reading Batman Beyond Unlimited, the current Batman Beyond comic book, I never read any of those tie-in issues back in the day. I wasn't into the comics back then, so... I think that's cool that they did that, though. I think that's a nice, you know, little explanation, kind of like what we had in Batman Beyond Unlimited 13. Was it 13? Yeah. Yeah, 13. Mm-hmm. With the flashback after what happened in Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. So, overall, watch this episode, people. You'll love it. If you don't love it, well, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that'd be true. So, with that, we'll be moving on.
Simone is wearing the Donna Day Spring Formal, the ultimate in stylish prom wear for the young, or for the young at heart. Ooh. The signature Donna Day youthful lines are accentuated with just a touch of the classic.
Isn't it lovely? I've got to buy one.
For who? What did I do?
This little spring ensemble, modeled appropriately by April, is part of the Donna Day Crazy Kids collection.
Beware the Ides of March.
The Ides of March?
Somebody call security. What's the meaning of this? Untie me at once, you déclassé.
Sorry, but you and I have a date with destiny. Your destiny.
Next up is Mean Seasons. At the spring fashion show, Donna Day of Donna Day Fashions presents her new fashion line. As the show progresses, a mysterious woman dressed in green with an attractive feminine figure and dark hair, but wearing a featureless white mask, appears with three muscular male henchmen. Disrupting the event with a smoke bomb, she and her henchmen kidnap Donna Day and escape, leaving behind a calendar page. Later, in giving a statement to the press, Detective Harvey Bullock inadvertently dubs the new villainous Calendar Girl. Why do we need Calendar Girl? We already had Calendar Man, and he's useless.
What episode was that? I don't remember that.
He's in the comics and in the Arkham games.
Okay.
He just sits there and tells you what day of the month it is. And then what's significant about that day.
Oh, wow.
But and it does that in the Arkham game, too. You can go down into the jail of the courthouse and visit him, and he'll tell you whatever day it is.
Yeah. Huh.
But anyways, yeah, you have Bruce and Lucius talking about the, you know, specifics for the Gotham Mortars, and then there's an auto show, and then, you know, you have all these people that have something to do with her.
Right.
And she thinks she's hideous and disgusting and broken and everything because they went for a younger model, you know, to unveil the product, more or less. Yeah. So it's just, it's the classic, oh, what was me? I'm so sad. Everyone hates me. Blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't know. It wasn't. It was your typical, you know, boo-hoo.
Yeah, it was. It was that, and it was also them taking a stance on youth and beauty. It was that whole thing of they were almost making fun of the WB at the time because the WB was going after the youth market with shows like Buffy and Felicity and like those teen shows at the time. So, I don't know. I like the ending to this episode, but other than that, overall, it's not that great. And it's not the worst episode, but like, once it's revealed, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, while the episode was interesting and it was full of action because she kept causing various hijinks to happen, mostly trying to get back at her former agent, it's just, I didn't really care. I mean, honestly, it wasn't a bad episode. Like, ultimately, like, forgettable. I'd never watch it again. But it wasn't something I would go out of my way to see again.
Yeah.
I think the best part was where Bullock rips off Calendar Girl's mask, and then she starts screaming and going, "Oh, the horror! The horror!" And then, you know, Batgirl's like, "But she's beautiful," and Batman's like, "Nope, not in her soul."
Yeah, she can only see the flaws. It's an alright episode. It's not the worst. We'll get to that here in a couple of minutes. but it's just one of those things where I just don't know what they were thinking. That's really all. I just have no idea what they were thinking with this one. I mean, I know that they were kind of going after the whole thing of, oh, hey, let's make fun of the company and whatever else, but
getting into some production notes.
Yes.
Calendar Girl's thugs hurls a bomb at Batman. For one frame there is a flash of light that is reused footage from the gas canisters that Superman ignites in Superman the Animated Series, the episode The Way of All Flesh.
Yeah, they did a lot of that back then. They would all...
Butcher back and forth because they were all from the same production run.
Pretty much, yeah.
Trivia. Batman would not be the only hero to fight a robotic Tyrannosaurus. Superman also fought one in A Little Piece of Home.
Yep.
Calendar Girl's sarcastic remark about dinosaurs, as well as the ripples in the pool from the dinosaurs' rumbling footsteps, are clear references to Jurassic Park, among other films.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Her henchmen are clearly costumed to resemble Chippendale's dancers.
Durr.
She was a player. She's voiced by Sela Ward, an actress who, at the time this episode was made, was conducting a protest campaign against Hollywood's emphasis on youth and its harmful effects on public perception. That's a mouthful. This episode, the villainess of which is a beautiful woman who has nonetheless been cruelly marginalized after she turned 30, could be construed as part of the same campaign. Again, while it may have merit in the real world, in cartoons, not so much.
God. This chick, I know back then this wasn't a thing, but if you had this episode today, this chick would still be voiced by Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, yes.
Likewise. The lineup of new GWB shows could be viewed as an unsubtle dig at the new Batman Adventures' own parent network, Warner Brothers, which at this time was aggressively targeting the youth market with primetime series such as Dawson's Creek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Felicity, and others. In the comics, WGBS was a Metropolis-based network run by Morgan Edge. During the Silver Age, Clark Kent worked there as a newsreader along with Lana Lang.
That's interesting.
Yes. The background music played before the WGBS new fall season's presentation is strikingly similar to the theme of Star Trek. And Calendar Girl's line, "Beware the Ides of March," is from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Caesar, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I will say the character of Irv Kleinman, very interesting voice acting there. It's Barry Bostwick. Most people will know him from, like, Spin City. He also voices, let me see here. You know, he's done a bunch of stuff. Let's see. He was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's see. Different Kind of Christmas, Secret Agent. He's in Spy Hard with Leslie Nielsen. Like I said, for television, he was on Spin City. He was on, I believe he was on Seinfeld a couple of times, too. Plays a lawyer, Oliver Gates on Law and Order Special Victims Unit for a while. He's got a really interesting voice, so very interesting to see that he has a role in this one.
And guess who else is in this? Bumper Robinson.
What?
Bumper Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Teen Cop. He's also in an episode of Batman Beyond as Zach in the episode Payback. He's in Static Shock as various other teen kids. He was unfortunately a Teen Titan.
Not in continuity, but yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. He at least got to play his character again, and I think later on in another in. Like Justice League, Doom, I think he plays Cyborg.
Not in Doom, he doesn't. That was somebody else, I think.
Okay. But yeah, that's also Bumblebee from Transformers Animated.
Yes. Another one that we have throughout the DCAU, Dennis Haysbert. He played some kind of low rank doctors in Superman Animated Series, a couple episodes. He plays Barclay James in this episode here. He was in a number of episodes as Chief Barksdale in Static Shock, where most people will recognize his voice in animation is he was Kilowog in Justice League.
Hmm.
He was the president in 24, and then he was Kilowog in Justice League. Very interesting.
Hmm.
Well, we've been dragging it out long enough, folks. I think we have to get to the worst episode of the day.
Yep. So we'll be back after this.
Ah! I'll say again, ladies and gentlemen, not since man put two slices of bread on either side of a hunk of meat has there been anything as exciting as what you are going to see here today.
Well, that's what you've been saying for an hour. We haven't seen anything but your daughter in a tarp.
Coming to it, sir. You want enough hamburger to feed a nation? You want a turkey drumstick big enough for the whole family this Thanksgiving? Well, you gotta have your special growth hormones invented by me, Farmer Brown. Hit it, honey.
Gosh, what is that?
Just a sedative, Emmy Lou. He'll be dreaming about big green pastures now.
Quick thinking, Wayne.
Actually, I was trying to escape through the window.
Shouldn't be allowed to be.
Enoch Brown, I'm handing down an injunction ordering you to cease and desist these monstrous experiments. You are to remove any living specimens to safe captivity outside Gotham City.
Judge, I put millions into this. I can't continue my experiments. I'm down the drain, washed up, snookered, and sunk.
You should have thought of that when you started creating these monsters. Adjourned.
And finally up today is Critters, what is possibly the worst episode in Batman the Animated Series. This is even worse than the Terrible Trio, people. This is so bad. Down the convention hall, Microball, just Farmer Brown. Oh, God, that was a horrible, goofy impression. Proudly displays the results of his research, a giant sheep. He believes that having giant animals will help to end world hunger. However, the sheep becomes irritated by the flashing cameras and escapes the cage. Oh, God, I can't.
You hear everybody? That is Mike Blanchard's brain on drugs. If you can call this episode drugs.
This is such a stupid episode. Just so stupid. Any other thoughts?
Besides the fact that I don't really like it all that much. You have Mr. Farmer Brown working as a microbiologist. And then he makes himself some dinosaurs. And giant cows. Yeah, it's just... He likes himself some giant stuff. He makes giant chickens, giant cows, dinosaurs.
He makes giant chickens, so essentially he's growing giant cocks.
He likes himself some giant cocks.
Oh, God.
He loves them little cocksuckers. Oh.
Good night, everybody!
Legends of the Dark Knight. We'll be back after this.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Are you ready to have your dreams worked on? That's right, Beyonder. Season 2 of Tooncast Beyond is coming soon, and we'll be talking all kinds of films from DreamWorks Animation. We'll have plenty of DeLorean Time episodes as well, so tune in August 1st, 2012, as TFG1 Mike, Optimus Solo, Steve Megatron, JT from Saskatoon, Sketch 1984, and more bring you the next season of Tooncast Beyond. You can find us on iTunes and on GeekCastRadio.com.
In the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh! Donkey, shut up and leave me alone!
The Pull Bag is the GCRN's place for everything you need in the comic book world. We focus on new and current comics, while also tackling a few back issues here and there. So join the entire GCRN crew and see what issues the hosts have with today's panels. You can find The Pull Bag on iTunes and geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics.
We now return to Legends of the Dark Knight.
Welcome back to Legends of the Dark Knight. After that commercial break and after that horror of an episode, what are your favorite episodes of the night?
Over the Edge gets a 10. That's top dog this week, or this time out. Over the Edge, Torch Song, The Ultimate Thrill, Mean Seasons, then Critters. Critters is dead last. No one should ever watch Critters.
Just give me them Critters.
God. It's so bad. But yeah, for me, like I said, Over the Edge, Torch Song, The Ultimate Thrill, Mean Season, then Critters.
I would have to say The Ultimate Thrill is not my number one.
Don't do that, you dumb.
Over the Edge is my number one, as it was yours. After that, I have to say Torch Song. I'm going to put a three-way tie at the bottom. Well, a two-way tie at the second to the bottom. For the Ultimate Thrill and Mean Seasons. And then Critters will be at the very bottom, burning in the lake of hell.
Yeah.
It's just not good, in my opinion. And unfortunately, it's written by the same person that did another one of our episodes. No, he didn't do any of these episodes tonight. But he has done other horrors of episodes.
Yeah.
To hell with you, sir. He's most... Oh, that's gonna... That explains a lot. This writer did Love is a Crock.
Oh, no!
And what did that rating get? Oh, yeah, boo. The only thing he's written that's been halfway decent is Beware the Creeper, which we won't get to yet, and then The World's Finest Part 3.
Wow.
Yeah, that's scary shit right there. And then the... That was just the... I think the director guy, or he... No, he wrote some of that stuff. The other writer for the teleplay stuff, he did Perchance to Dream.
Rich Fogel?
No, this is Joe Lansdale.
Oh, yeah, Joe Lansdale.
He did Perchance to Dream, Read My Lips, and Showdown, which Perchance to Dream was good, but yeah. I don't know.
The rest, not so much.
Yeah, boo. But, oh man, that Steve Gerber guy that wrote this and wrote Love is a Crock and Beware the Creeper and World's Finest Part 3 and Father's Day is also best known for his absurdist creation, Howard the Duck, for Marvel.
Oh my god. That's messed up.
That's, yeah. So, never watch Critters ever again. Or I'll keep sounding like that when I talk about episodes.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so I'm not getting into that mess.
Nope.
That's some horseshit.
Yup.
Alrighty, thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. We love the feedbacks. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter name is SCP21.
TFG and Mike.
Join us next time when we discuss Cult of the Cat, Animal Act, Old Wounds, The Demon Within, and Legends of the Dark Knight. Yeah, see the irony there?
Yeah.
That's where I got the show name. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with...
TFG and Mike.
Saying the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I'm Batman. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?